القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us to go through the month of Ramadan and receive the blessings that He had prepared for us. And we hope that He blesses us with the ability to preserve what He gave us, the closeness, the proximity. One of the concepts we have in our ahadith, which is a scary one, I think we've mentioned it before as well, is the idea that the iman, or the faith of some people, is mustawda, it's a wadi'a, it's a trust. And it goes on to explain further, a trust is something that's given to someone to take back from them. In other words, God gives it to someone, they have it, but then it's taken back from them, and they no longer have it. Although what is mentioned there is general, and the initial understanding you would have of it is the scary thought that if I'm someone of faith today, God forbid something may happen and faith is taken away from me and I no longer have it at all. But as we said, it's general. And so hopefully, inshallah, it doesn't happen in that way for us. We hope. But even if it happens on a lower scale, something is given to us, not the entirety of faith, but a certain level of faith. Allah helped us in the month of Ramadan. We made progress. We got closer to Him. We're able to enjoy the blessing of staying away from sin, doing the wajibat, being more in remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the month of Ramadan is over, and our remembrance of Allah, our remembrance of the hereafter, our remembrance of the Ahlul Bayt is lowered to pre-Ramadan. And remembrance of Allah being lowered to pre-Ramadan means remembrance of Allah, according to the ahadith, is not just subhanallah, Allahu Akbar, and so on. Although that is the remembrance of Allah. But one of the most important, or the most important remembrance of Allah, is before doing anything, before looking at anything, before saying anything, before listening to something, thinking and remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Does He want me to do this? Does He not want me to do this? Is this something He's permitted? Is this something He's obligated? Is it something that He's forbidden? What is it? And if it's something that's forbidden, that I don't do it. Sometimes, God forbid, we go back to the state of negligence, forgetfulness. We forget the presence of God. We just go about, do whatever we desire. Afterwards, if God helps us, we look back at today and why did I do that? Why did I say that? Why did I look at that? Why did I listen to this? Why did I listen to that? After it's done, in the month of Ramadan, Allah blessed us with all that remembrance. We were more careful. Inshallah, we're able to continue with the care that we have, the carefulness that we need to have, which is the translate equivalent of taqwa, being careful with our deeds, our words, our thoughts. All of that is important. كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ عَنْهُمْ مَسْؤُولًا. If I got the wording right, all of them will be asked. Whatever goes on in our minds, our hearts, our tongue, our eyes, our hands, everything is going to be asked. Recite a salawat, please. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. I would like to briefly, one of the areas of taqwa that is important for all of us, and it's one of those things that we generally don't necessarily notice ourselves getting into, getting involved in. There are very, very serious warnings in the Holy Quran about this. But we don't necessarily take these warnings on board. We, like many other lines in the Quran, tend to see them as something relevant to others and not something that's relevant to me. If you, I don't know if the translation was on the screen as well or not of the verses we recited. That was Surah An-Nisa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns about against nifaq, hypocrisy. Against hypocrisy. When we talk about hypocrisy, hypocrites, which people sometimes don't like talking about that even, we think of others. There's something that's mentioned. I don't want to talk about that, the disease of hypocrisy itself. There's something that's mentioned about hypocrites, which is essentially one of the foundations of hypocrisy, if not the foundation of hypocrisy, in the political sense, in the social sense, in the sense of those who were with the Prophet in the same city, apparently with the believers, apparently even with them at war, okay, on the same side, apparently, but actually with the others. Actually not with the Prophet. Of course, the Quran says they're not with the others either. They're not with them or with you. Because if they were with them, they would have left the Prophet and gone over there. That's the nature of nifaq and hypocrisy. The person doesn't find it appropriate for themselves, for different reasons, to go and actually join the kuffar. They remain in the community of believers, with believers, amongst believers, by the Prophet, by the Imam. Yet, they are with the kuffar. So, in a sense, they're not with these guys, they're not with the believers, they're also not with the kuffar. And either way, they have something to say. Something that happens to the kuffar. All this is found in the Quran. These are not some things that we've come up with. The Quran says something happens to the kuffar, they come to the believers, like, yeah, we're with you guys, look at what God did to them. Something happens positive for the kuffar, apparently, and there's a loss for the believers, for the mu'mineen, for the Prophet, and they go to the kuffar and like, oh, we helped you guys out. They always have something to say. What is mentioned, or what was mentioned in the verses that we recited, is taking kafirin awliya, taking kuffar as awliya, taking the enemies of Islam as the wali. This is essentially the problem of nifaq, starts here. If a person has wilaya of kuffar, what is wilaya of kuffar? What does it mean to have wilaya of the kuffar? In a way, I want to discuss this in a way that I find, or I feel that it's more relevant to us. You have certain people that, it's evident. You had that at the time of the Prophet as well. They said we're Muslim, but all Muslims knew that they were close to the kuffar. You have those figures in the Muslim community today. The Saudis, for example, say we're Khadimul Haramain al-Sharifain, but obviously everybody knows that they are slaves to their master right here and the Zionists in the occupied lands. That's pretty evident, that's pretty clear. That's not something that is hidden any longer. Okay, it's a hypocrisy that is evident. There's many others as well. In the Shia community as well, we have those who say we're with the Ahlul Bayt, so on and so forth, but they would travel in Muslim lands under the protection of the kuffar, with escorts from the kuffar. That is a clear sign. It's evident, it's bringing it out in the open. If it was in speeches or behind closed doors, so you have those, I don't worry about them. That's a different thing. Inshallah, we are intelligent enough to be able to figure that out. I want to give this warning for ourselves. We are vulnerable. We are vulnerable. What is wilaya? What is the wilaya of the kuffar? Wilaya is gradational. Wilaya of the Ahlul Bayt is gradational. Wilaya of the kuffar is gradational as well. There's different degrees, different levels of wilaya. Some people's wilaya of the Ahlul Bayt is stronger, and some, their wilaya of the Ahlul Bayt is weaker. In regards to the kuffar, similarly, some don't have any wilaya. Hopefully, we want to be some of them. But then there are some of us that have certain levels, degrees, a shade of wilaya of the kuffar. And we have to be careful with that. You say salawat, please. In Surah Ma'idah, I'm sure we all as Shia have read the verse of wilaya in that chapter. There's a few of them, of course. It's not only one. But the one that reads, إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةِ وَهُمْ رَاكِعُونَ. The famous story of Amir al-Mu'mineen in the masjid, seeing someone asking for help, assistance, financial assistance, and apparently no one else helped out. He was in prayer in ruku'. He extended his hand, and the man came and took his ring. He pointed it to his ring, and Amir al-Mu'mineen did, and the man took the ring. Charity was given, and the verse was revealed. Now that's nice to know, and it's nice to know that it's Amir al-Mu'mineen, but that's only part of it. If you look at the sequence of verses before and after, there are actually two sets of verses, one before this, and one after this. One set of verses before إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ and one set after them. Both of those sets of verses are strongly condemning and forbidding any type of wilaya with the kuffar, Christians and Jews. It's mentioned specifically, all three of those. And between the verses that are emphasizing you shouldn't have wilaya of the kuffar and of the Christians and Jews, and no one but the believers, it says, إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ وَالَّذِينَ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ until the end of the verse. إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ Your wali is only the following. Only Allah. In this verse, believers are not mentioned. A believer is mentioned, meaning besides Allah and the Rasul, a believer, or if we expand that concept, meaning the correct understanding of it, there are, besides the Prophet, 12 or 13, depending on how we explain it, I would say 13, other individuals that are included in this. It's Amir al-Mu'mineen, the Lady Fatima al-Zahra, and their 11 children. This verse says, your wali is only Allah, the Prophet, Amir al-Mu'mineen, the Lady Fatima al-Zahra, and the 11 imams of their children. There are other verses that say, al-mu'minuna wal-mu'minat, ba'duhum awliya'u ba'd. Believers have a relationship of wilaya. That's fine. But when it says, don't have the wilaya of the kuffar, and then it says, إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهِ We understand that what is meant here, although it's similar to that idea of that connection that's between believers, and not only between us as believers and Allah and the Prophet and the Imams, but it's a different form of it, on a different level. Allama Tawatabai explains this in Al-Mizan, in this verse, because some other verses that the concept of wilaya is discussed, he doesn't explain it in this way. In fact, when he's talking about those three sets of verses, one telling us not to have the wilaya of the kuffar before إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ and then إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ and then the third set of verses which tell us again not to have wilaya of the kuffar, In those three sets of verses, the word wali is mentioned, but if you read it yourself, you will see that his interpretation of wilaya in those three is not consistent. He doesn't explain it in the exact same way. I think there is consistency there. I think it's pretty obvious. Or maybe I misread what Allama Tabatabai says. I think it's pretty clear that it's consistent. It's the same context. But the way he explains it, I believe it's in the first set of verses or the second one talking about wilaya. And he says there's different views on this. He says essentially the beginning point of this and everything else stems from this is mahabbah, love. A love towards someone that causes you to gravitate towards another. Okay. Wilaya of the kuffar means being drawn to, being attracted to, gravitating towards the kuffar. If one's heart gravitates towards, right? I see them, I look up to them, I like them, I admire them, I watch them, I look at the way they dress, I like the way they dress, I like the way they speak, I like the way they live their lives, I like the way they behave, I want to mimic that, I want to imitate that, I want... This is gravitation. You gravitate towards, you see them, you want to be closer to them. This is wilaya. This is the beginning, not actual gravitation, the heart gravitating, not in behavior yet. The essence, the beginning point of it is one's heart feeling like you like this individual, this culture as it is. There's a time you look at the way this person is dressed, okay, as a person, the way they dress, you like that, and you like to dress like that as well. That's fine. That's not necessarily liking the kuffar as kuffar, the lifestyle that is different from the Islamic lifestyle, the lifestyle that is forbidden. All right, and of course, it gets a little difficult. I hope I'm able to explain this in the brief time that we have. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us in those verses, do not have wilaya of the kuffar. If you have wilaya of the kuffar, you are like them. The last verse we read tonight from Surah An-Nisa, it said something similar to that, but in a different context. It's still in the context of nifaq, that same idea, the wilaya that's mentioned in the verses. But specifically what is mentioned in that last verse is where the kuffar are saying negative things against Islam, against the Prophet, against the Ahlul Bayt, against whatever Islamic teaching there is, they're speaking negatively towards it. It says, we've told you, do not sit with them, then leave them. And if you want to join them, fine, join them at another time. Don't join them when they're discussing this stuff. When they're saying, spewing negativity and hatred of various levels against God, the Quran, the Messenger, the believers. Don't join them. Don't sit there. Don't allow your ears to hear this. And then it says, if you do, you are like them. If you join them in that session, you are like them. The other verse in Surah Ma'idah, if you have wilaya of the kuffar, you are like them. If you have that love towards them, you are like them. Very serious warnings. Very serious warnings. This is where nifaq begins. Nifaq begins here. If I look up to them, and here are some of the ways that we look up to them, and we've seen, unfortunately, houses students that are supposed to be looking at the Quran and finding the beauties of the Quran, looking at the life of the Prophet, finding the beauties of it, looking at the life of the Ma'sumin, finding the beauties of it, realizing that if there are any problems in the Muslim community, which there are, we have fallen behind. We are, in a sense, backwards. People have advanced technologically and so on and so forth. When you see that, you should recognize and realize it is because we have distanced ourselves from Islamic teachings. A Hauza student should be able to recognize that. But unfortunately, that Hauza student has allowed his eyes to observe what they see of the kuffar. They see them as superior. They travel to Europe. All right, we've seen this. Some of my own friends, they travel from the Islamic Republic to Europe. These are Iranian students, right? They've seen Iran. They've been raised post-revolution. Most of them, people who are of my age. And they go to Europe and like, wow, look at these streets. I mean, it's so perfect. The buildings, constructions, this, that, the other. And then they go back to Qom, especially the back alleys. A lot of dust. You go to Khuzestan, southwest, every now and then there's so much dust you can't see. I'm like, man. We're so backwards. And then their hearts, they just like that. And the problem is, again, liking clean streets, is that a problem? No. Liking proper construction, is that a problem? No. There's nothing wrong with that. Liking good, nice designs, is that bad? No. The problem is, in the heart and the mind of this person, these two are not differentiated. You see these things, which there's no problem with someone that has a big problem, and that big problem is kufr, and you like that person, that culture, that civilization that has these good things in it as well. Yeah, that's where it starts becoming a big problem. We look and say they are advanced. We look up to them as superior. We see ourselves as inferior. We gravitate naturally, once that is our understanding, we gravitate towards them. And the next thing that's mentioned in the verse, the other reason, which is based in, as I said, this is the root of it, then why do people look up to the kuffar? Once you see them as superior, more advanced, people that are more capable, more intelligent, and these things are explicitly said. There were times that they had people from the Muslim world go and visit Europe, especially when the Muslim world was way far behind. They would go and see, come back, like, my God, it's so amazing out there. And people did say, there were people, I know a little more about Iran's history, but I've looked into other countries in the Muslim world, you pretty much find the same thing. It's just the names are different. Instead of Iranian names, you'll find Arab names or Indian names or Turkish names or whatever. It's the same idea, though. Saying that if we want to advance, we have got to become like the Europeans. We've got to dress like the Europeans. We've got to think like the Europeans. Our lifestyle has to become like the Europeans. We've got to shave off our beards. We've got to change our clothing. We've got to remove hijab. We've got to stop Muharram. We have to stop all of this in order to advance like them. Inshallah, amongst us, we don't see things or say things as explicitly as that. But back to the point that is mentioned in those verses in Surah An-Nisa. It says, أَيَبْتَغُونَ عِنْدَهُمُ الْعِزَّةِ فَإِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. A very important line. Do you want izzah? Is that why you're looking towards the kuffar? Let me explain the context of the verses. We don't understand it. The more we think about it in the context, the more we realize it is actually very relevant to us today. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi, when he started his message, there were the mushrikun, and they were the elite of the mushrikeen, right? The elite of the mushrikeen, the wealthy, the affluent in Mecca, in Ta'if, one of the wealthier cities. In other areas, the wealthier individuals, the heads of tribe, all of these are mushrikun, right? They're all mushrik. And they walk around, brag of what they have, show off what they have, all the gold and So they're looked up as such, right? The prophet introduces his message. All of these people go against the prophet. Who joins the prophet? People from the ghetto. They join the prophet. People who have nothing, for the most part. Difficulty after difficulty. Being the prophet, being with the prophet meant that you're not going to be someone that everyone's going to be like, wow, you know, let's join this. You're so this, you're so that. It wasn't the fat. It wasn't nice to be with the prophet. You left the cool guys if you joined the prophet. You're no longer cool. And then when they moved to Medina, things to a degree got even worse because the Arabs that were in Medina were inferior in terms of their culture, in terms of education, in terms of architecture, in terms of cultivating land, in terms of history, in terms of so many different things. They were inferior to whom? To the Jews. All right? They looked up, the Jews were advanced, their architecture, the fortresses that they had built outside of Medina were serious. The Arabs didn't have that. They were all, or most of them were literate. Many literate people amongst the Jews, the Arabs, for the most part, were illiterate. In terms of developing the land, they were capable of development in ways that the Arabs weren't. All of this causes you to look up to the other. And we know the Jews weren't open in accepting anyone. It wasn't like a religion. It was more like an ethnicity with a religion. It's not open to anyone accepting. Of course, I don't know if really the Arabs wanted to convert to that. But this is the way the inferiority complex that was there. The prophet comes in. The believers come in. The Jews are again seen in that way. And there are a number of these fortresses out there. People are seeing that. They're observing that. And then there are all these wars. Everybody's against the prophet. They're not against the Jews. The Jews had been living there for centuries. Nobody was against the Jews. Nobody was against the mushrikeen. Everybody was against, one way or another, against the prophet and his people. A lot of suffering, a lot of difficulty. Being with the prophet, being with Islam, being walking and treading the path of Islam had its difficulties. Seeing those who are superior, apparently, in those ways that were mentioned. Seeing that you're weak and seeing the strength in the other, you want to back yourself up and rely on the stronger. And this is what it is. أَيَبْتَغُونَ عِنْدَهُمُ الْعِزَّةِ They want عِزَّة. عِزَّة means this. For you to be able to maneuver. For you to be able to do what you want. For you to be able to do what you like. For you to have what you like. This is izzah. Instead of being inferior and everybody dictating to you, hitting you, not allowing you to buy things, not allowing you to sell things, not allowing you to have what you want, limiting you. That's how the believers were seen, apparently, at the time. The sanctions, the boycotts, people not taking them seriously, giving them things and so on, respecting them, all of that is included in izzah. They see the Muslim community is lacking, that's the way you see apparently. And then you see these people have a lot of respect, they have what they have, they can do whatever they want. What happens? You look up to that, you like it, you want the izzah that you see, you think or you see incorrectly in the kuffar, and you want that izzah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا Izzah belongs to Allah, all of it. All izzah belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not seek it from those that God has said, do not seek it from. These are things we are experiencing. On a political scale, if in the Muslim lands, politicians, and not just politicians, thinkers, there was a revolution in Egypt, right? The political figures that were voted in, they did exactly what this verse says not to do. They developed wilaya with the kuffar. They decided to move away from the Islamic Republic, which is the center of Islamic izzah, self-determination, and independence. They turned away. Who did they turn to? They turned to the kuffar. They turned to America. The same ones who had Hosni Mubarak and power. That's what they did. Why? Because they thought, oh, what's Iran going to do for us? These guys are the powers. They are superior. On a social political scale, out there we have that. Here we have it as well. We have those who think we are supposed to be working with the establishment. Why? What for? Did God say to do that? Can you quote me a verse from the Quran that says to do that? Like, well, we're living here and we need to be part of the political system because we need to fight for our rights and so on and so forth. So, okay, so you want to be part of that system to uphold your rights? Okay. In other words, do what you want. In other words, that izzah, أَيَبْتَغُونَ عِنْدَهُمُ الْعِزَّةِ. You're looking for izzah, that's why you want to be part of the corrupt political system. The political system that you cannot enter without becoming like them. You want to enter? You want to join there? Oh, well, we have no choice. Why? Why do we need that? The bottom line, the explanation is exactly this. يَبْتَغُونَ عِنْدَهُمُ الْعِزَّةِ The Qur'an says, oh, that's the case. Well, that's the definition of nifaq, hypocrisy. You're seeking that? No, there's no izzah with anyone. إِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا All izzah belongs to Allah. Allah gave izzah to Musa and Harun. They went together as two individuals against the tyranny of Fir'aun with everything that he had. Allah said, إِنِّي مَعَكُمَا أَسْمَعُ وَأَرَى I am with you, I hear and I see. Don't worry. They went in, they laughed at them, they mocked them. Eventually, they had to take it more and more seriously. Eventually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised Musa and Harun and Bani Israel that were mustada'afun. وَنُرِيدُ أَن نَمُنَّ عَلَى الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَنَجْعَلَهُمْ أَئِمَّةِ وَنَجْعَلَهُمُ الْوَارِثِينَ And then where's Fir'aun? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just took him there. The idiot walked in with his own will. He walked into a trap that was so obvious. And he thought he's so smart. I mean, every sign there should have told him, hello, you shouldn't walk into this. This is your death. And he walked into it himself. He could have just walked away and said, okay, they passed the sea. Let them go do whatever they want. We'll just go back and live our own life comfortably. Oh, he went in there. In a matter of seconds, it all came together. And then now he said, oh Allah, I believe in the God of... I says, now? It's not worth anything now. I believe Izzah is with Allah. Do we see Izzah is with Allah? We have examples today. The whole world of kufr gathered together to say the Islamic Republic should not exist. Now, by the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Islamic movement is stronger than ever. One week, Trump says, threatens with military action. Next week, retracts it. I saw a post on, I think it was Facebook, like I think 2-3 weeks down the line, and said we surrender to the movement of the Imam, retracting everything that they have said. They all got together and they said Israel must exist and it must continue to expand to the borders that we had decided. Look at where the so-called Israel stands. They had to pull out of Lebanon. Who? A bunch of youth. Who has izzah? Who gives izzah? They put all their efforts together, created this monstrosity called ISIS. And today I think it was, I actually saw the quotes, I heard them directly, of John McCain saying that in the meeting in the White House, everyone recommended arming ISIS. It's his own words, exactly. Everyone recommended arming ISIS. The recordings are out. It's there. He said it. President Obama said it. He said ISIL. We armed ISIL. Okay, it was mentioned. To what? To get rid of the Islamic movement. They started this disease, this cancer in Syria and expanded in Iraq. And the fatwa of Marja'iyya, the support, the believers coming together. And everyone on earth said, that's it. Today, Syria stands, and Iraq, ISIL, and ISIS is no more. Iraq stands firm and stronger than ever before, with the believers in power now, more than before. Well, who gives izzah? These are examples that are before us. If you're living here, in this country, if you think that because of us living here, we are in need of the establishment to give us izzah, the same thing is said. أَيَبْتَغُونَ عِنْدَهُمُ الْعِزَّةِ فَإِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. Izzah is with Allah. Izzah is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no one else. No one else. But whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and the truth will prevail. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's plan will move forward. God forbid, if we allow that wilaya of the kuffar, that initial state of it, that love, that liking, that gravitation in the heart towards kuffar and kufr, if we allow that to start forming and start growing in our hearts, to the extent that we actually start seeking izzah with the kuffar, God forbid, we will not be on the right tracks. We will not succeed. We will not have izzah, because God will not give us izzah, but Islam will have izzah, and Islam will prevail, and these people will not. The establishment of kufr, the establishment of taghut will not prevail. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this very clearly in the Quran. Very extremely clearly. One of those instances is Surah Al-Fajr, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wal-Fajr wal-layalin ashr, wal-shaf'i wal-watr, hal fi thalika qasamun lidhi hijr? Is this a swearing that is good enough for someone with intellect? أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعْلَ رَبُّكَ بِعَادٍ? Do you not see what God did to Ad? Ad was very powerful people. إِرَمَ ذَاتِ الْعِمَادِ الَّتِي لَمْ يُخْلَقْ مِثْلُهَا فِي الْبِلَادِ وَثَمُودَ الَّذِينَ جَابُوا الصَّخْرَ بِالْوَادِ. Thamud, very powerful civilization. The ruins are there for you to see it and to be reminded. وَفِرْعَوْنَ ذِي الْأَوْتَادِ الَّذِينَ طَغَوْا فِي الْبِلَادِ. Pharaoh with the pyramids. Look at all these people. الَّذِينَ طَغَوْا فِي الْبِلَادِ فَأَكْثَرُوا فِيهَا الْفَسَادِ فَصَبَّ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّكَ سَوْطَ عَذَابٍ. Allah lashed them with the whip of عذاب and chastisement. And then it says here, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَبِالْمِرْصَادِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is standing in the position of, some have translated it as ambush. He's waiting there. Get to the right point, just like the Fir'aun. Just walked into it, gone, that's it. Ad, grow, continue with your facade, continue, you think you're ruling the earth and so on. Just one lash, it's done. The same thing will happen. This is God's promise. If anyone thinks that they can seek izzah from this establishment or any establishment of kufr anywhere in the world, I should look at this and realize, إِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. Whoever is with Allah, they will remain in this world and in the hereafter. And anyone that seeks izzah of the kuffar will be belittled in this dunya and the akhirah. Even if they act as though they are Muslim, they say they are Muslim, they mention the names of the Ahlul Bayt, they wear a turban of whatever color, it does not make a difference. Anyone who seeks izzah with the kuffar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will join them with the kuffar in this dunya and the akhirah. They will be belittled, and God will show there is no izzah with the kuffar in this world or the hereafter. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of the imam of our time. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us become his true and close companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all those who are helping his cause, those who are putting their lives on the line to help Islam and the Muslimin. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to especially help our ulama, our maraja, our leader. We ask Allah to forgive us all of our sins, forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who passed away. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all of us our hajat, our needs, our requests, to cure all the ill from amongst us, relieve all those who are suffering from various difficulties, problems, hardships. And we ask Allah to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Min Nabiyyi wa Alih, Rahimallah, Man Qara al-Fatihata Ma'as-Salawat. Allah.